So good to see you in church today. Hey, and so good to see you online. Hello, everybody online. Nice to see you. Nice. That's a bit old, isn't it? Some of you know nothing about what I just said, and some of you are going, flashbacks, can't you? Very good. Hey, so you're doing good? I'm going to get right into it straight away. Are you ready to get right into it straight away? Today, I'm sharing about... I need you to be active in sharing your faith. Well, I've decided that there's too many other things that we keep talking about that we need to talk about being active in sharing our faith. I don't know what you're thinking, but if there's ever a moment where people need Jesus, it's now. If there's ever a moment where I need Jesus, it's now. So let's talk about it. But look, Paul prays prayers. One of the prayers that he prays in Ephesians 3. So he prays, he says, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Okay, so he prays this prayer that I pray that you'd have power through the Holy Spirit. But he has this little word that says so that. Do you know, most of the things we've got to pray for, it's so that. And we've got to know the so that. It's no good praying for something, well, I just want this so that I'd be happy. You go, I pray this so that. And in this one, he's saying, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So we pray for the power of God to happen so that we can have hearts full of faith. And the one I want to share this morning, because there's about four or five of them where Paul does that. He prays so that. But this is the one I want to talk about today, is in Philemon. I think that's how you say it, Philemon. And, you know, my prayer, if you could pray a prayer that would help everybody in this room, wouldn't you want to pray it? Yeah. If you knew there was a prayer you could pray that would help people to have a better understanding of their faith, to get excited about God, would you pray it?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to teach you a prayer that is good for everybody sitting by you, okay? Okay, so in Philemon, just to get a background, Philemon... Is the only letter that Paul writes to a person. So he writes to this guy, Philemon. Philemon had a connect group, a home church that was going well and was a friend of Paul's. And Paul writes to Philemon because he's got this guy, now again, I don't know exactly how to say his name, but it sounds like Onesimus or Onesimus. We'll just call him O, Mr. O, okay? Because otherwise I'm going to get it mucked up and you're going to sit there going, I wish he could say that name properly. Mr. O, and Mr. O was one of Philemon's slaves who escaped and ran away and just happened to meet Paul and get saved. And so Paul's now writing back to his mate Philemon and saying, hey, I've met Mr. O and he's got saved and he needs to come back to you. And, you know, Paul's quite, when you read the letter, is quite sort of blunt with him, sort of even slightly manipulating, saying, you better forgive him and let him off. And so Paul's writing him, but in Philemon 4, because there's no... Just so you know, there's no chapter, so it's Philemon 4, so it's verse 4. It says, Paul says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith and faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. When people hear about you, when someone talks about you, what do they say? I hear about people. I hear about this person struggling here. I hear about this, but how often do you hear about, hey, I heard about this person and they're full of faith. I heard about this person, they're full of faith and they love all the saints. Are you one of those people? Hope so, yeah. You're someone that, hey, when people hear about you, hey man, I know that person, they've really got faith. That's what the hallmark of their life, they got faith and they love God's people. But he then goes on, he says, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So he's praying he would be active in sharing his faith so that he'd be full of understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. Now, I want you to be having a great understanding of everything good in Christ. But I think there's a connection between actively sharing your faith and growing in the Spirit. There is something connected with it. Now, I don't know whether Paul's writing this to Philemon because he's a little bit ticked off with Philemon. You think about it. This slave, Mr. O, was in Philemon's house, in his business, involved with him, and he goes off somewhere else, and Paul meets him, shares the faith, and gets saved. And they're probably having some little conversation about, oh, yeah, so where were you from? You know, the normal Kiwi conversation is, where were you from? I'm from there. Oh, do you know so-and-so? We love doing that, don't we, in New Zealand? Do you know so-and-so? And Paul's probably gone, hey, do you know Philemon? And Mr. O would have probably went, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, yeah. So did he ever tell you about Jesus? Nah. I'm just surmising. I don't know for sure. When we get to heaven, we can just check out the facts on that one. But he's and Paul was probably a little bit ticked off. I've met Christians that have said, you know, one of the things that got me was when I found out people that I knew when I was unsaved, and they were Christians, and I never knew. They never shared about Jesus, and I had to wait until I'd gone through all this mess to get to here, and now I'm saved, and it's great I'm saved, but wouldn't it have been good if that person had shared it? And here's Paul saying to Philemon, hey, mate, you know, it's really great that you know, you're, you know, it's really great that you've got a great faith in Jesus, and I've heard about your faith, and it's really great that you love all the people at church. But look, there's one thing I think would be really good is if you were active in sharing your faith. And then he does this connection so that you would have a greater understanding of God, so that you would grow in your faith. There is a connection between sharing your faith and growing in God. So that you will be full of understanding of every good thing. You know, as a church, I think we need to be praying more for each other to be active in sharing their faith. We want to see souls saved. How many people want to see people get saved? Okay, so the best thing we can do is that you can pray for the person next to you that they would be active in sharing their faith. Let's just do that. Lord, right now, we pray for everybody in this room. Lord, everybody watching online. Lord, that as a church, we would be active in sharing our faith. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be active in sharing our faith. Lord, I pray you'd give us boldness to share about our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. You know, because instead, what happens is that we become inward looking. And I've talked about this a bit lately. It just keeps coming back. The more you keep looking at yourself, the more inward you get. And that's what happens in church. The more we don't look outwards and start looking at seeing people saved, the more we start looking inwards, the more we become critical of the church. Oh, I wish they'd do this, wish they'd do that. And I sort of think, oh, forget about that. Let's look at what we can do to make a difference. Let's look at what we can do outside. We need to be people. Jesus didn't want us to be frightened of the world. As Christians, we're not supposed to go, oh, this is scary. I'm just going to go into my little cave. I was going to say, build a commune somewhere or something like that. Yeah, heck no. Sorry, I love you all, but I don't want to live in a commune with you. No, we've been, Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples. He said, shine your light. You know, our job is not, you know, being in church, that's good. You know, we're fired up, but our job is outside of here to share the faith. That's what we got. We're here to shine our light. We're here to be salt. Are you salty? Not salty, temperate salty. No, salty that people go, man, I like that person. What have they got? Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. He said, you're the light of the world. He said, baptize people. He said, don't run from darkness. Be the light in the darkness. That's what we need to be. He's saying to Philemon here, hey, man, you need to be active in sharing your faith. Active. And, you know, over the years, I've watched people. And when they lose their activeness in sharing their faith, I think they grow cold. But there's something about when you share your faith, you get excited about it. You get excited. So why don't people share their faith? You know, I'm not going to say put your hand up, but did you get to share your faith in the last 7 days? My guess is there's probably only 1 or 2%, maybe 10%, maybe 20. But a whole lot of us will have, for some reason, not shared our faith. And here's my question, why not? What is it? And I put down a couple of thoughts that I thought, why people might not want to share their faith. One is, I think we sometimes just get too busy. Just busy with life, that we stop thinking about that. We're so concentrating on everything else, and we're so obsessed with maybe the main conversation that we all have at the moment. We're so obsessed with that that we're not concentrating about, hey, I need to talk about Jesus. Maybe we can't be bothered. Maybe we just can't be bothered. Because what I've found, you know, in my own life, is that I've got to be concentrating and actively looking for opportunities. I've got to be actively going, Jesus, I want to be a light today. And I find that I've got to keep on my game. And it takes a bit of effort to go, right, I'm going to concentrate. I'm here. This is my main purpose. Every person I encounter, I want to give them something. But I've got to be active. And, you know, I think sometimes I can't be bothered. And so someone misses out because I can't be bothered. You sort of got to be slightly prepared. You know, you've got to get in your mind, right, you know, maybe I know I'm going to meet this person. Can I give them a word? Whether they're Christian or not Christian, can I take this opportunity? The third thing is that I think sometimes we don't want to be the weird person. You know? We all know weird Christians, don't we? We've all had those encounters with weird Christians. And we think, man, I don't want to be known as the weird Christian at work. I don't think you have to be weird to be a Christian. Well, you shouldn't be weird to be a Christian. You are different. But I still think you need to share your faith. And the fourth one I put is, I think a lot of times we'd feel like we don't know enough. You know, I just don't know enough about my faith. But here's the thing. We think the more I know, then I'll share my faith. But I think it works the other way around. The more you share your faith, the more you know about God. And suddenly you get excited about the things of God. It makes you review your life and go, man, this is a good thing. Oh man, I used to be like this, but this is what this has done for my life. When you share your faith, you start getting excited about what God's doing in your life. You know, one of my studies that I've read on how do people grow in their Christian walk, one of the main things that will help you grow as a Christian is sharing your faith. Now we think, if people go out and share their faith, won't that undermine things? Won't they get challenged by people? No. What happens is you go out there and you get asked a question. You think, I don't know the answer to that question. What is the answer to that question? So you run back to somebody who knows. You run back to Pastor James. You run back to Jared. You ask a question. And suddenly you learn something and grow, so you run back. I can remember when I, years ago, I was working at Bay of Plenty Asphalt. Jared worked at Bay of Plenty Asphalt. When I did my between holidays at university, I'd come home, I'd work at Bay of Plenty Asphalt. And I remember having these conversations with people about Jesus, and they'd give me, you know, trick questions. Some of them were sort of slightly saved, and they'd say things like, you know, you're not saved unless you're baptized. I'm thinking, what do you mean you're not saved unless you're baptized? Well, you know, you've got to be baptized. And he would say all these things, and I'd go, oh. So I'd run home and talk to my dad, because that's what you do. You talk to your dad, and we'd talk, and he'd say to me, well, you know, just go ask him whether the guy on the cross with Jesus, whether he got saved or not, because he didn't get baptized. Oh, I thought, that's a great answer. I'll go back and I'll tell him that, hey, well, if you have to be baptized to be saved, what happened to that poor person on the cross? He missed out on heaven. And he's going, oh, well, there are exceptions. Okay, Yes, it's good to get baptized, but what happens is my faith grew, my knowledge grew. You know, we used to go do giving sausages away as part of our outreach over New Year's, and down went on a bus down in a caravan down at the mount there, and we'd give away sausage and we'd share our faith. Honestly, it was one of the best things for me growing in my faith, because I was forever talking about what Jesus had done in my life, and I would be having these discussions. Sometimes they were weird discussions because the person was drunk, and it helped me in our faith, and we would talk afterwards. Man, this happened, and how did it go? And I think, and I look back, and that was when I was probably one of the most excited in my life about Jesus. What happens is as you share your faith, you get excited about it. If you're bored with your faith, perhaps this is the key for you. Maybe you need to start sharing more about Jesus, and we can all do it. Okay, so here's what I think. There's this little circle that I've tried to draw. What happens is you share your faith, which is a good thing to do. Oh, look at that. Didn't Eureka did a good job on that, because I drew little lines that were wobbly and all sorts, but that looks beautiful. Okay, so we share our faith. Lives get impacted. Yay, someone's got their life impacted. We grow, and now we're looking outward because we're looking for an opportunity to share our faith. And then we're getting all excited again because we've made an impact on someone's life. And now we're growing, and now we're outward looking. But if you're not sharing your faith, then what happens is no one's life's impacted, so you're thinking, what's the point? And then you're not growing, you're becoming lukewarm. You're not outward looking, you're inward looking. So you don't share your faith, and it's a downward spiral. You lose your enthusiasm for what you've got. You and I need to be constantly sharing our faith. We need to be seeing lives impacted. The most exciting thing is when lives are impacted, isn't it? Yep. Who would say that getting saved was the best thing that happened in their life? Okay. So we're excited about this is in my life. Yeah, I got married. That was good. But getting saved, that was the best thing. That changed my life. Where I am today, we're so thankful for it. We need to share it. And in sharing it, that gets us excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives, and we grow. We get a better understanding of God. And then we become outward looking and not inward looking. Where are you at? So I want you to start a commitment to pray a daily prayer. The daily prayer is that you pray for the person next to you that they would share their faith. That they would be passionate about sharing faith, that they would be active in sharing their faith. If we as a church pray, Lord, we pray for our church that we would be active in sharing our faith. I pray for so-and-so. Now, guess what? Whenever I think of one of you, that's what I'm going to be praying for the next week. And if that has good results, I'll be doing it for the rest of my life. And what will happen is that you'll go, man, here's my opportunity to share Jesus. We'll become active in sharing our faith. So there's four things that I thought I'd just say that could help you. Four things, because I actually think it's easier than we think. It's easier than you think to share the gospel. But here's the first thing. Pray for opportunities where you can just love people and you can meet their needs. Pray for opportunity to meet people's needs. That's all you need to be doing. Meet needs. And I get excited. Yesterday I've had a couple of conversations with people and they're meeting people's needs. Yeah, I just saw this person, their business is struggling. So we've been going all the time and having Indian. That's what they told me they're doing. They're going and having Indian. Why? Because they want to help this person, but they're building a relationship with these people. What can you do to meet a need? That's all you, if you could meet one need a day, just ask God. I mean, this is our opportunity, Holy Spirit led. God, who could I do something for today? It doesn't have to be much. I'm blown away with how actually the little things have bigger impacts on people than the big things. If you just go buy a coffee for someone and say, mate, I was thinking of you, here's a coffee. Oh, what'd you do that for? Mate, I've just been thinking of you, and I know you're having a hard time, or I know that things are happening in your life. Maybe your neighbor. Hey, mate, I was just thinking about it. I baked you a cake. I wouldn't bake a cake because I can't bake a cake. No, I can't. I can only make toasted sandwiches, and then taking toasted sandwiches over to the neighbors just... you know. Although they're good toasted sandwiches, I must say. What could you do? What's a need you could meet? Yeah, I mean, and what you do is you turn your radar up to go, what are the needs around me? And what happens is you start looking for them. If you start looking for them, you find them. I think the more we look for things, the more we see them. I've told you about yellow cars enough. I just see them all the time, and we don't even play that game anymore, and I still see yellow cars. We see what we're looking for. If you want to look for needs, they're there. Every single person you come across has some sort of need. Whatever that is, look for the opportunity. In 1 Thessalonians, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work and your loving deeds and the enduring hope you have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We do loving deeds. We love people. And, you know, I think we've got a job to do as Christians because at times we haven't been loving, we've been judgmental. So it's far better that we be loving. We've got to sort of work a little bit harder at doing the loving deeds. And any of us can do them. Look, even, you know, and I say this all the time, but I keep repeating it, even just sending someone a text. Hey, I was thinking of you. I hope you're okay. Is there anything I can do? You get that. And, you know, you're led by the Holy Spirit at the right time. Suddenly someone's going, oh, that's awesome. Look, the amount of times I get, man, I was just looking for something. Oh, wow, I just needed that. And you know, often if they're a Christian, I'll send them a scripture because God's word's more powerful than anything. And I go, well, here's a scripture. This is a good one. And they go, oh, that's just what I needed. You can do that. Yeah. I was going to say, put up your hand if you can't do that. No one put up their hand. Okay, we can all do that. Okay, here's the second thing. Share your story. Yeah. Honestly, share your story. Your story is powerful. And nobody can disagree with your story. You know, there's a story in the Bible where, I think it's in John's Gospel, chapter 9. Jesus heals a blind guy on the Sabbath. Ooh, don't do it on the Sabbath. He does it on the Sabbath. Heals this guy. This guy now can see. And now he gets hauled to everybody because, you know, the Pharisees are running around going, this is wrong, this is wrong. And he gets hauled before them and they're going, you know, should Jesus be doing this on the day? And this guy's going, well, I don't know. I don't care. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. And I'm a happy chappy about that. Well, what about this? I don't know. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see. It's all you need to do. Man, I don't know about all this Christian thing, but all I know is that, you know, I was addicted to this and I was in trouble and Jesus set me free. I don't know about all this here, but what I do know in my life is I was lonely. I was so lonely, and I met Jesus, and now I have a friend that's with me all the time. I don't know about all what's going on, but I know this, is that I was worried about life. I was so stressed out. I couldn't handle it, and I met Jesus, and I have this peace that just doesn't make sense. That's all you have to do is tell your story. What have you gone through in life? We've all gone through some horrible things. We've all gone through some stuff that we go, and what happened? If you're a Christian, God intervened and you look back and go, man, I'm so thankful God was with me through that. Man, I'm so thankful God's in my life. All you have to do is share that because God's bringing people along your path that are in exactly the situation you might have been in 10 years ago. Or 20 years ago. Or they bring people along the path where you'll talk about your situation and you don't know, but in 5 years' time, they're going through that. I don't know. Man, I got divorced and it just wrecked my life. It did this to me, but Jesus did this to me and look where I am now. This has changed my life. Tell your story. Tell your story. You know, all I know is that I was blind and now I can see. I don't know about all the rest of that stuff. All I know is that Jesus is in my life and he's made a difference. That's all you have to say. All you have to say. I don't know. I got a whole lot here. I nearly went bankrupt, but God. I nearly lost my business, or I did lose my business, but God. I lost my house, but God. I went through this, but God. Whatever it is, tell your story. It's easy. And nobody can deny your story. Have a story that you're ready to tell. If you go through your life, write a bit of your life story and go, what's the things that I've gone through? Oh, I've gone through that. I've gone through this. And where was God? Here's God. and just tell your story. But God intervened in my life. But I was so thankful I had God. Tell your story. It's powerful. It's more powerful than you give it credit sometimes. And what happens when you tell your story, suddenly you go, man, I'm so thankful for what God's done in my life. Doesn't it make you grateful and thankful when you think back? You start talking about, man, yeah, I didn't realize, man, I really went through it there, but God came through for me. And look at what's happened. So what do we got? Who are we going to do? We're going to look for a need, meet a need. We're going to tell our story. The third one I put is invite someone to church. I know that sounds, hey, but invite someone to something. You know, if you've listened to Eleanor's story, she got invited along to a whole lot of things along the way. That, you know, Carolyn invited to this. She went, oh, that wasn't very good. She invited to this at church. That wasn't very good. She invited to that. But in the end, she got saved because Carolyn just kept inviting her. Yeah. When's the last time you invited someone to come to church with you? You go, man, look, I don't know what's happening in your life, but why don't you just come along to church? Because there's a whole lot of people there that this changed their life. Why don't you come along to my Connect group? Why don't you come and hang out with my group of friends? Just invite them to something, and it will make a difference. It's so easy. This is what the Samaritan woman did. You know, she has this encounter with God, with Jesus at the well. Man, this huge encounter. She runs off. All she says is, why don't you just come and see what's changed my life? Jesus. And she says, just come and see. Just come and have a look. This has worked in my life. This has made a difference in my life. Why don't you come along? I've got this great group of friends that we get together and we just hang out and that. Why don't you come along? We just talk about real life things. Come along. Why don't you just come and hang out? And out of that, you will be amazed at what that does in a person's journey. Easy. If we turn to the person next to you and go, this is easy. I can do this. I can do this. Here's the fourth one. Why don't you live a life that people would love or would want to have? Why don't you live a life that people would want? That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Live a life that's full of life. Live a life that people look at you and go, man, what have you got? When's the last time someone said to you, what is it with you? How come through all this you're still living the dream? How come that you're so positive about life? I thought you were going through it. I thought you'd just gone through this huge thing. Oh, yeah, well, I've got God. Live a life that people look at and go, man, I don't know about you. You don't seem to have much, but man, you're happy. Well, I don't need much. I've got God. I've got peace on the inside. Who cares what happens on the outside? Live a life that people want. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. They're in prison. They're having a bad day. And what are they doing? They're singing. And the prison guy's looking at them going, what's with you? You're in prison, you've just been whipped, and now you're singing. What's with that? And when everything happened, earthquake comes, and that the prison guard's going, mate, I want what you've got. It's pretty powerful. So live a life that people want. Live a life that makes people ask questions. And look, this is what's going to start happening when you do that. Number one, you're going to be part of someone's divine story. And I can tell you, when you get to eternity, you will be so excited to meet the people that you've had a part to play. Look, there's people, you may not see what happens. You may not see them get saved, but you sowed a seed. Yeah. You told them your story. And you didn't realize that 5 years later they went through exactly what you were going through and they thought of God and they ended up in a church and they ended up getting saved. You'll be part of a divine story. How exciting is that? I've had a few people come back to me and say, mate, I don't know if you know, but I'm a Christian now. And, you know, years ago when I worked with you, you know, you shared that thing and I know I was a bit nasty to you or I said something to you, but mate, I got saved now. How exciting is that to be part of someone's divine story? Doesn't that do your faith good? Don't you get excited about living the Christian walk when you know it's made a difference in someone else's life? That's what's going to happen. Second is you'll grow. You'll grow. You'll be excited about what God's doing. You'll grow in your Christian walk. You'll pray for more. You'll get more excited about it. And third thing is that you'll be reminded of what God's done for you. You'll be excited about what God's doing. Come on, we need to be praying that we're more active in sharing our faith. We need to be praying for more active, that we would be more active. We'd take the opportunity. This week, you're going to get opportunities. They're going to come at you and you're going to hear that little voice. Oh no, Ellen prayed for this. Oh no, what do I do? And you're going to go, you're going to just do something. You're going to be nice. You're going to say something. You're going to get an opportunity. Come on, as a church, we need to pray. You know, one of our main visions is we want to see people saved. I don't know about you. I mean, I love you and I'm glad you're in church and everything, but mate, we're here for seeing people get saved. The church exists for the people that are not here. And I tell you that the people that are not here, they need Jesus. Man, and it's good at the moment because everybody's sort of under pressure. So that's a good thing to me. It's a good opportunity. It's the ripe for it. I don't know whether that's a bit, what's the word? A bit cruel. I can't think of the word. Anyhow, let me pray for you. In fact, stand up. Let me pray for you. In fact, if you know the person next to you, why don't you put your hand on them? If you're just on their shoulder, if you know them and they're happy for you to do it. If not, don't worry about it. Let's pray for the person next to you. Father, right now we pray for every person here that we would be active in sharing our faith. Lord, we pray for those online that they would be active in sharing their faith. Lord, I pray you'd help us to make the most of opportunities. Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, get to share our story. Lord, that we would get to meet a need. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would get an opportunity just to talk about you and to tell our story, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray you would help us to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, I pray we'd get an opportunity to invite someone to church. We'd get them to invite them to something. We'd be able to bring them along to our group of friends or our connect group. Lord, I pray that we would be active in sharing our faith. Lord, help us. Help us to do it. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you know, there's so many people in this room that you could talk to that would tell you what happened in their life when they met Jesus. That they had this happen, they were in this mess, and they met Jesus and he changed their life. And I can't tell you enough that Jesus will change your life. He will change your life. He'll bring peace into your situation. He's who we want to have a relationship. We want to do life with God. I don't want to do life without God. And this morning, just while everybody closes their eyes, if you don't know Jesus, if you're at home and you don't know Jesus, can I ask you, why don't you give your life to him today? Why don't you ask him to come into your life? He will change your life. It will be the best decision you've ever made. He forgives us, and all we have to do is ask him to forgive us for all the wrong things we've done and come into our lives, be our friend, be our boss, be our savior. And he comes into our lives and you will be blown away. He's living and active in our lives. If that's you this morning here and you go, Alan, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I just need him. Things are not going well, or things are just, I know I need Jesus. And while everyone's got their eyes closed, why don't you put your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I need Jesus this morning. And we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer that's so simple but connects you with God this morning. Anyway, and I'm just looking around. If that's you. Oh, I want to ask Jesus in my life today. Maybe you're at home. If you're at home, why don't you just go, yeah, that's me. I want to ask Jesus into my life. We're going to pray this prayer. And I'd like you all to pray it, because either you're going to get to pray it with somebody, hopefully this week, or you're praying it for the first time. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life. Please be my Savior. Please be my Lord. Please be my friend. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, bless each person here. Give them great opportunities, we pray.